Hear these words of assurance. God's justice is restoration. God's justice mends all. It may be painful when we go through it, but God will see us through to the other side. We are forgiven, even when it hurts to forgive. We are loved, even when it's hard to love. Let us show mercy, compassion, and forgiveness in God's name and live into God's ways of righteousness, justice, and peace. Amen. Instead of having a scripture reading this morning, you're going to read the scripture. We're going to do it in unison. There's a couple of short scriptures. This first one is from the book of Deuteronomy, the last of the Torah, or the great Jewish covenant of law, though not legal law, of a way of life for the Jewish people. Read with me. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord and of sovereigns, the great God, mighty and awesome, who is not partial and takes no bribe, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the stranger, providing them food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And from the Gospel of Matthew, and the Holy One will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Stand as you're moved, and we'll sing this favorite hymn of Dr. King, often done on this day where we celebrate his life. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to
In the middle of a prayer, I'm going to read these words from Leslie and Steve's song, All of Us Are Immigrants. I couldn't find the music so we could sing it. Someday I'll find it and we'll sing it, or I'll get them to send it to me again. Steve is a pastor of a church in the Rochester region for American Baptists. He and Leslie are a wonderful folk duo. Maybe you can have them here at Fairview sometime when they come west. All of us are immigrants. All of us are immigrants in this state of grace. None of us inherit it. We all must find a place lifted up by mercy and held in love's embrace. All of us are immigrants in this state of grace. All of us are wanderers, strangers on this earth. Race and class and family are accidents of birth that tell a bit about us, but don't tell what we're worth. All of us are wanderers, strangers on this earth. All of us are instruments, voices in this song. We do our best to play our parts. At times, we get them wrong. Amen? Yeah. Working out the harmonies, we strive to get along. All of us are instruments, voices in this song. All of us are shooting stars across an endless night. Each one burns a different course, a brilliant burst of light. We glow for just a little while, then trail off out of sight. All of us are shooting stars across an endless night. Amen. Well, did you know the Bible, both older and newer testaments, is filled with references to strangers? Strangers, aliens, refugees, immigrants. Among these are many admonitions to welcome the stranger, to care for the refugee, to make room for the immigrant. The text we just read from the book of Deuteronomy is one such passage I discovered on a list of 58 references I found in a word search. Others include, "There shall be one law for the native and for the alien who resides among you," Exodus and Leviticus. "When the alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as the citizen among you. You shall love the alien as yourself. For you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." Twice in Leviticus. "Give the members of your community a fair hearing and judge rightly between one person and another, whether citizen or resident alien," Deuteronomy. "You shall not withhold the wages of poor and lonely laborers, whether Israelites or aliens who reside in your land," Deuteronomy. "You shall not deprive a resident alien of justice," again, Deuteronomy. "Cursed be anyone who deprives the alien of justice," Deuteronomy. All of these are from the Torah, the law, the ancient law. "The Lord watches over the strangers," the psalmist writes. Jeremiah says, "If you do not oppress the alien, then I will dwell with you in this place." Malachi writes, the messenger will bear witness against those who thrust aside the alien. Matthew writes, "I was a stranger and you welcomed me." And the writer of Hebrews in a famous passage says, "Show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Well, is that enough evidence to convince you that as people of faith in the Judeo-Christian tradition, we are mandated to welcome the stranger? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's a core command in our religious tradition to love God with our whole being, as both testaments insist, means that we are also to love our neighbors as we love ourselves.
In fact, we are to love all of creation as God loves it. God so loved the cosmos, John writes, and to care for it as God does. Remember Jesus' response to the lawyer who asks for a definition of neighbor? A Samaritan, Jesus teaches, one who is genuinely despised, an enemy of so much of what the lawyer held dear. That, dear lawyer, that is your neighbor. It's a deep truth that provides a profound challenge to us to love our most unlikely and unwelcome neighbors. Do a little inventory for a second. I'm going to ask you to share any of this, but who can you think of in your own life that you struggle with? Individual, class, type of person? Who is the person, who are the people you're most unlikely to love and welcome? We all have them, if we're honest. Who is it that dwells outside the love of God that we can turn our backs on, that we can leave behind? See, God so loved the world, the whole creation, the cosmos, and is redeeming it to God's self through Jesus Christ. Everyone, not one single one left out. Who are we to look at another and say, not you, you're not good enough, clean enough, well enough, cultured enough, you don't speak the right language or follow the proper customs. You are not one of us. The messenger will bear witness against those who thrust aside the alien, proclaims Malachi. Cursed be anyone who deprives the alien of justice, is the law, according to Deuteronomy. When I first heard Steve and Leslie sing All of Us Are Immigrants, I was moved by both the music and the message. It's so true that all of us are immigrants. We all come from someplace else. There are two ways to look at that claim. First, I think of all the people who are rushing to get their DNA tested to establish their ancestry. I received my kit in the mail on Friday, and it's sitting on my office chair. I was going to use it as a object lesson this morning. I forgot to bring it in, but I have my ancestry kit to check my DNA to find out where I really come from, maybe. Many folk are astonished to discover that their racial ethnic makeup is not at all what they expected. Picture the fellow who has to trade his lederhosen for a kilt when he finds out his background is Scottish and not German. That's one of the ads on TV, right? Or the woman who's so overcome with emotion in donning for the first time the regal headdress of her recently discovered African ancestors. If the advertisements are true, most are delighted with these discoveries. But I can't help but think that there are some who might be less than thrilled to find out what their makeup is. I guess those people's ads didn't get made, or at least they don't get shown. At the same time, though, there too often is a cultural discontent between those who are fascinated with ancestry and those meeting refugees and immigrants yelling, "Go back where you came from." Here is always an implied and often an overt message that refugees and immigrants are foreigners, whatever that means, who are dirty, ignorant, vile, fundamentally other, not one of us, whoever we believe we are. At the same time, DNA and Ancestry.com are showing us that all of us are immigrants.
We all came from someplace else. Scholars of prehistory posit that humanity probably had its origins somewhere in Africa, which means over the millennia, all of us, even so-called indigenous people who have been here for ages, came from somewhere else. The truth is that race and ethnicity really are social constructions. While they may serve some useful purposes, they don't really tell us who we are, do they? In the same way that God looks down on the earth and does not see or honor our artificial borders and our wasteful walls, God does not look down and recognize or honor our racial and ethnic divisions. As Ruth Duck once wrote in a song, "We're all God's children in the heavenly band." And speaking of heaven, that leads to the other sense in which we are all immigrants. All of us come from God to dwell for a while on this earth, which is God's after all, not ours. And in the end, we return to God. There's some truth in that old song that sings, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." It's not to devalue or diminish the worth of this world, which God made and God loves dearly. I only mean to say that there is a spiritual sense in which, if we believe that life goes on in other dimensions besides this one, as our faith tradition holds, then there is a trajectory that runs from God to God. Jesus not only taught this, but traveled it himself, inviting us to travel it too, to travel it with him. We migrate from heaven to live on this earth for a period before migrating on to other aspects of life in God, the one in whom we live and move and have our very being. All of us are immigrants in this state of grace, lifted up by mercy and held in love's embrace. And all of us are wanderers, strangers on this earth. Race and class and family are accidents of birth that tell a bit about us, but don't tell what we're worth. So there is a denial of a deeper reality, an ultimate reality, when any of us demeans refugees and immigrants. Some shout for a ridiculous wall that either leaves people to die in despair or keeps no one out who is really determined to enter. In every case, it makes us look foolish in the eyes of the enlightened world when we try to claim and protect a supposedly superior identity. The day will come when we will be held accountable. Maybe it's already here. Well, let me share some illustrations. These are older illustrations, but I think they, as illustrations, they are still relevant and speak to situations we could identify today. Illustrations of what we in the USA confront with our xenophobic desires to maintain this country's supposed unadulterated state, to keep America for Americans. These are stories from American Baptist missionaries, Barge, you know, like that. Dan Buttry, dear friend and the former global consultant for peace and justice for American Baptist, who spread peace, training people in conflict, I may have mentioned Dan before, training people in conflict conflict resolution all over the world. Dan, who's now retired in Detroit, shares shares from his African sources, and I've talked to you about Philip Kakangulu and these other young peace warriors in Africa, Central Africa. Dan writes, in response to a BBC story about 170 Libyan refugees. Remember the Libyan refugees and fleeing in boats across the Mediterranean? part of the Arab Spring, I think, maybe. Anyway, about 170 Libyan refugees who drowned when their boats capsized in the Mediterranean, now a few years ago. Of this, Dan wrote, "I've spent some time with these African migrants in Italy," which is where their destination was. "The horrors they are fleeing make it worth the risk to them." Let me read that. "The horrors they are fleeing make it worth the risk to them." And if you hear the stories of people fleeing Honduras and Guatemala and Nicaragua and other places where it really is hell to live, you understand the truth of this. "The horrors they are fleeing make it worth the risk to them. They describe Libya as worse than hell. The numbers lost at sea are beyond counting." In that same period, reporting on growing troubles in Zimbabwe, Dan requested, "Please pray for Zimbabwe. It was at that time in a deep and worsening crisis. The government cannot provide basic services." And where do we see this happening all over the world today? The government cannot provide basic services. People are going hungry. Fuel prices have been raised. People are desperate. Anti-government demonstrations are growing and being responded to with deadly violence. "We have many friends," he writes, "many friends and peace warriors there. Pray for them. Pray for them as they seek to be agents of transformation amid the chaos." And then another friend, an American Baptist missionary, Ray Schellinger, who's worked for many years in Nicaragua and Mexico, has firsthand knowledge of what's going on there and what's been going on at our southern border. In fact, he continues to work with people at our southern border in this country. I remember him decrying the uselessness of the window dressing of it all. He shared a word he received from a friend in Nicaragua. He said, "I got a Facebook friend from Bernardo," he wrote. Nicaragua today is at that point was in a desperate situation, with hundreds of thousands of people thrown out of work because of the crisis between the government and protesters now, compounded by the pandemic. Bernardo is also out of work and in a desperate place. His family and their future are at risk right now. He is out of options and running out of hope. In response, Ray penned this prayer poem. "In a Tijuana shelter today, I met a 6-year-old girl whose name means promise of new beginning. She laughed and smiled. She was outgoing and trusting, so much so that you would never know that she had just lost her mother. So much so that you would never know she lost her father, too, both murdered by a faceless enemy. A new beginning birthed within a terrible ending. A new life of dusty roads and crowded city shelters, clutching her grandmother's hand from one place to the next. And then grandmother is no more. And she is all alone in a Tijuana shelter. No papers, no identity, no family, no way forward, and no way back, no rights. No promise of a new beginning. This is our child. This is our sibling. This is our grandchild. As people of faith, children of God, followers of Christ, how can we turn our backs and pretend it isn't so? How can we reject the least of these in their time of desperate need? Now, I'll acknowledge that solving these problems socially, economically, and politically represents an enormous challenge, one that none of us can take on by ourselves. I don't believe there are any easy solutions. At the same time, though, I believe we, as people of faith, are required to keep faith with refugees and immigrants.
the least of these, to bear witness to the gospel of welcome and inclusion that's at the core of our sacred texts. We need to speak truth to power until a commitment to do right comes forth. I think my favorite quote from the many, many quotes from Dr. King is this one, where he teaches us, the time is always right to do what is right. Can you say that with me? The time is always right to do what is right. The time is right to welcome the stranger, to care for the refugee, to make room for the immigrant. The time is always right to love God with everything we have and to love our neighbors, every single one of them, regardless of race, ethnicity, or national origin, as we love ourselves. All of us are immigrants in this state of grace. All of us are immigrants, lifted up by mercy and held in love's embrace. Amen.